Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he then spent the night.
Please be seated. It's my privilege to welcome Greg Frost, who's the senior Baptist minister, at Hadley Baptist Church, right?
That's right, yes.
That's it. And it's very good to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
And again, one of Ian's friends, you see. Ian has lots of friends.
He certainly does. I know Ian so well that I had the confidence to ask him via email earlier this week, "What are you going to wear today?" Now, guys don't normally do that, you see. That's something guys don't do. We just don't do that. That's the sort of thing that you ladies do a lot of, but us guys don't do a lot of that. Yeah, that's working. That's good. Well, great to see you today. Thanks for coming. It's really good to be with you. I really mustn't go any further before I say a big a hello from everyone from Hadley Baptist Church, just a few miles away, especially to you, Ian, and to Raquel, for you today, and for you as a church here at Stoke Green. It's great to see some faces I've never met before. You'll probably never want to meet me again. And it's also good to see some people I do know. You're either deaf or blind or both, I'm not sure. But it's good to see you too here this afternoon. I've got some amazing news to announce before I go any further. Ipswich are winning 2-0. Okay, we've got that over. Seriously, yes. It's half time and they're winning 2-0, but you know for well they will blow it. So don't get too excited. Right, now we're going to get on to some important business. I've got my eye on the musicians because normally they're the naughty ones in the church, I've discovered. So I'm going to keep an eye on them over here. And I'm going to keep an eye on the pastor because they're even naughtier sometimes as well. And especially the moderators and all of those folk as well. And it's great to have you with us today. I want to talk to you about what the Church of Jesus should really look like. And we've had read to us by Andrew some words of the Lord Jesus where he entered into the church of his day. It was called a temple. It was a place where God was revered and honored and worshipped. But it's a place that Jesus went into. And when he went into this temple that day, he wasn't too pleased with what he saw. And we're going to look today at a few things about what I believe, according to the Bible, is the kind of house, the kind of church that Jesus wants to see. Here at Stoke Green, there in Battersford, back in Hadley, wherever you're from this afternoon, the kind of church that Jesus Christ wants to see. And I just want to say, before I go any further, that of course, unless God builds the house, we're going to labor in vain. We can work really hard, and we need to work really hard to build God's kingdom and to build the church of the Lord Jesus. But ultimately, it's only God that gives the breath, God that gives the life, the Holy Spirit of God that gives the energy and the anointing and the empowerment and the changing of people's lives. That isn't going to happen. We can shake people. We can persuade people. We can nag people. Be careful where you look, Greg. And we can do all of that. But actually, it's only God that can add. It's only God that can transform the heart. Unless the Lord builds the house, you and me that labour, we're going to labour in vain as we build it. So we're going to dip into Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 17 this afternoon, and we're going to look at a few things from there and a few other places in the Bible about what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ should really look like. And I have to say to you, the things I'm going to talk to you this afternoon are things that I have spoken in our own church back in Hadley through the last 17 years I've been at Hadley. And I've pipped you by 5 years, Ian, and still counting. And so I just want to say that. I think it's really important because sometimes it's quite easier as a visitor into a church to be able to get all of the stuff off your chest that you daren't say in your home church. All right, and hope that you go back and tell the church what their pastor said, or their church leader said. Well, I'm not doing that this afternoon because they've already heard it. It's just been over 17 years, so I'm not going to be saying anything different to what they've already heard over a period of time. So you're not going to get anything harder or harsher or sweeter or more comforting than they've had in the last 17 years. Isn't it interesting that Jesus began in talking in this situation that the house should be a house of prayer? I was reading a newspaper article a few weeks ago that was telling me that Mount Everest is now becoming quite crowded. Kind of not the sort of kind of place I normally visit on a Saturday morning, but apparently it's getting very crowded. In fact, it's getting a bit sort of gridlocked. That some days there are so many people that are close to the summit that they can't actually all get there because there are too many other people in the way. In the year of 2012, on a certain date, the 19th of May, between, they don't know this, please forgive me, this is from Wikipedia, so it might be true. 19th of May 2012, between 179 and 234 people got to the top of Mount Everest, the highest point on earth. What an amazing achievement that was. They don't even know how many got there, you know. They're all sort of scrambling each other to, you know, put their flag at the top, you know. We're from Ipswich, you know, there we are, yeah. We're from Hadley, you know, there we are, yeah. So everyone can tell, oh, there's this scramble. Do you know, Jesus wants the church to be a house of prayer. You know, if that many people can get to the top of Mount Everest, I think our churches should be a bit more scrambling to get to the house of prayer, shouldn't they? Or to make the church a house of prayer. Because Jesus said when he came into the temple courts that it's written, he's quoting here Old Testament scripture, of course, that my house should be called or will be called a house of prayer. But you're making it into a den of robbers. In other words, the church that Jesus walked into wasn't the kind of place that he wanted it to be. He could have started and said, well, it's not a house of this, a house of that, but actually this is where he began. He said, this is what the house should look like. It's got to be a house that looks like a house of prayer. Some of you will be familiar with Jim Cimbala, Pastor Jim Cimbala, an American. He leads a church in Brooklyn Tabernacle, New York City. He's written several books, one of them being Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's an incredibly inspiring book. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to read it. I know a lot of churches read it a few years back in the Ipswich area because CLC gifted it to certain churches in the area. Get hold of it. It's a great book. And within it, he says this: you can tell how popular a church is by who comes on Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the pastor is, or evangelist, by who comes on Sunday night. That's if the church has a Sunday night meeting, of course. But you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting. Wow. Ouch. Thanks, Jim, for that. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Well, I say amen, Jim. I'm right with him there. I totally believe that. You can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the place of prayer. I was thrilled to bits to hear, within all of the words that we've heard this afternoon, and there's been so many people contribute to this afternoon's meeting to this point, thank you all for that, that the leadership team and you as a church here at Stoke Green got to a point, I believe you said it was in January, where you had a specific time of prayer. And that seemed to be a turning point for you as a church and for a leadership team and for the community of the church here in Stoke Green. I'm never surprised to hear words like that. prayer is often the turning point. Yeah? Let this be, let the church that you are a part of be a house of prayer. Let it also be a house of healing. Ian, through his years of ministry, has traveled many thousands of miles to different countries of the world. And I've had the privilege of traveling to India to minister on three different occasions. And one of the things about that nation is a nation that has a church that is growing under severe persecution in certain places. But yet it's a church of prayer. But it's a church that is part of a nation of many different ideas, as our own nation is. And millions of people each year will go to what they would call holy rivers. They will bathe themselves in the waters that are mostly disgustingly unclean. And they will go and they will believe that by the dipping in of the water, they are forgiven of their sins. They believe they're healed. People today are looking for healing. They're looking for it just outside these doors. Maybe you're looking for healing in somewhere or another in your life. But who are you looking to for the healing? Well, let this be a place where there are healings. Let this be a church, and let your church and my church be a place where people come, where they are welcomed, where they are loved, and they're introduced to Jesus Christ, and they know something of his healing touch upon their heart, upon their bodies, upon their minds, upon everything that is within them. Because the message of the Bible is a message that the church of the Lord Jesus needs to be a house that is a house of prayer, but it needs to be a place where people come and find healing. They come and find healing. For this is what happened in the temple. You see, the blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things that he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. We'll talk a little bit more about the religious leaders in a little while. But just look at the people that came. When Jesus showed up in the house, when Jesus came to the temple, he first and foremost said, "This has got to be a place of prayer." And then he says, "This, by very demonstration of his person and through the acts that he committed on earth, not only here in the temple in Jerusalem, but in other cities and villages and towns throughout Palestine of the time. Jesus Christ of Nazareth," Peter says in Acts 10 verse 38, "went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, setting people free from their sins." Jesus Christ came into the world. And he fulfilled the words that he first said in Luke 14, reading in a religious setting. "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. This afternoon we have a Savior in Jesus Christ who wants us to be prayerful men and women, but a Savior in Jesus Christ who wants his church to be a place of healing, where people come and find deliverance, where people come and find freedom, where people come and find a wholeness." We sing many songs in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm a part of. And one of them talks about captive mind shall know his peace. How many people in this building need to know that even this afternoon? That your mind can know his peace. I visited a lady only yesterday afternoon with a troubled mind and spoke to her about Jesus. She needed to hear about his healing. She needed to receive his peace. Captive minds can receive his peace here today, tomorrow morning, and in the months and years, God willing, to come here in this church in Stoke Green. The house also needs to be a house of love. Of course, love covers a multitude of sins, Paul tells us. Just a few meters down the road from where our church is situated in Hadley is a building called East House, and for some years it's been empty. And at the moment, it's been renovated into two very large residential homes, properties. And they're building a wall around the outside. Now, Donald Trump isn't part of the building project, but I don't think he is, at least. And I've been walking past this building every day for the last sort of 6 months. And there's these stacks of bricks. I used to be on the building trade. I know a weeny bit about building. And the bricks are all brought and they're stacked up, ready to be laid. We can build a house with bricks like that. We can stack them up, but it would be fairly insecure. They'd be relatively stable, but it wouldn't withstand much wind, and you certainly couldn't go too high. But what is needed, of course, to make a brick strong is to join it together with other bricks and to put mortar in between. It is the mortar of God's love that will bind your hearts together as you serve Jesus Christ here at Stoke Green, isn't it? It's the love that enables you to disagree, but yet move forward. It's the love that causes one another to challenge one another when we know that someone else is maybe walking out of line with what Jesus taught and said in how they should live. So we go in love, not wanting to condemn, but rather to restore and to correct in a loving and generous and gracious way. Love is the love that is needed in this community of Stoke Green Baptist Church and in any and every church that is represented here today. The love of Christ is the love that is the mortar that holds the bricks together, the men and women that make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that builds the church that Jesus Christ wants it to be. A house of prayer, a house of healing, a house of love. And that love is needing to be shown to this community of Stoke Green around you. You see, John said this in 1 John 4, "Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another." It's kind of a reaction there, isn't there? If God has loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have the gift of eternal life. If God has loved you and me so much, we also ought to then love one another, don't we? When we're reminded of how much God has loved us, then it should be much more easier for us to love one another. And the byproduct of that, or the spin-off of that, is this. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, John says, God lives in us, and his love is brought to fulfillment or is made complete in us. In other words, when Stoke Green Baptist Church loves one another in the way that Jesus calls them to love one another, the people outside these four walls are going to see the difference. They're going to notice the difference. And when they come into these four walls, and when they come into contact with the Christian church of Stoke Green, or whatever church you're a part of here today, as you come into contact with them, they're going to encounter with the Almighty as well. And that's what we want, isn't it? Isn't that what we want as churches? That when we love one another, when people come into communication with our own lives, or into contact with our own lives, they're going to communicate with God. They're going to handle and touch and hear the words of God and the acts of kindness through your life and my life. Be a house of love. It's scary what you can find on the internet. It really, really is. What a gorgeous picture of Ian and Raquel. Will you love them, Stoke Green? Will you love them? So it's easy to die on your marriage day. Yeah. Ian said to me, "Oh, Greg, you got your wedding suit on today." He's right, I have. I don't wear a suit that often in our church. It's more open ties. "You got your wedding suit on?" I have. Jenny said to me, "You're wearing your wedding tie, Greg." I said, "Yeah, I am. I am." She said, "Why?" "I'm going to a marriage. It's a celebration today, isn't it? Because as a shepherd comes together with a flock, there is a marriage in that." Now, you can't take the analogy a long, long way because there's been a divorce, isn't there? Yeah, so we need to be careful there. We're Battersford. We've heard of the pain of that. So we can't take it too far. But what we can say is where a church falls in love with a pastor and a pastor with a people, we've got a marriage, yeah? But marriages, as we know, those of you in the room who are married will know, are not always made in heaven, so to speak. There are struggles and there are difficulties and there's contentions and there's arguments, unless you have a different marriage too. I don't know. We don't always get... My wife's here, by the way, so yeah. Bless her. She's going to throw something at me very shortly. If you're married, you know marriage isn't easy. And neither is leading a church. And neither is loving those that lead the church as well. Because there's a responsibility, there's a love element that needs to be attached. Because there'll be moments where you will not like what Ian and Raquel do. And there will be moments where you do not like what the church do here, Ian and Raquel, as well. It cuts both ways, by the way. Now, this man has been in pastoral ministry and Christian leadership for a long time. He's not wet behind the ears. I don't need to teach him anything. He should be teaching me what to say this afternoon. So you've not got a rookie here, Stoke Green. You've got a man who has great experience in Christian ministry across a wide spectrum of denominations and finally ended up in the Baptist Union. Well, God bless you. May the Lord be with you. I don't know. I'm going Anglican this afternoon. I don't know. May the Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Yeah, well, I don't know. But it needs to be a house of love. Yeah. If you're here from another church, and many of you are, great to see you. Love your leaders. Gosh, some of them are difficult. I know, because I'm one of them. All right. But love them. And if you are a leader, love your people. I don't like it when I go to pastors and ministers' fraternals and I hear ministers moaning about their congregation. I don't like it. I give them a slap when I hear that. You think I'm joking? Yeah. That's not good enough. Because as church leaders, we're called to love our people. Yeah? Not to moan and groan about it. We'll have our moments. Of course we will. Because we're flesh and blood. We're normal human beings. You see, some people sort of think church leaders should look like this. I'm not really sure which is Ian and which. I don't know. But they kind of think they're just supermen and superwomen. You know, in our church, God bless him, he's now in glory. We had a on-fire man of God. He was probably in his 90s when we came to the church in Hadley, or in his 80s at least. And he's one of these men that gets up at 4:35 o'clock in the morning. If you're one of those, God bless you. God bless you. May the Lord be with you indeed. But he really used to think it was a good idea to ring his pastor quite early in the day. You know, he'd have his breakfast, his quiet time, 6 o'clock. Well, the day's long spent. I'll give Pastor Greg a ring. Thanks, Eddie, for that. God bless you. You know, he was a great man of God, but his sense of timing wasn't always great. But then, of course, there are other people in your church that are night owls that stay up until midnight or even the early hours. They work away, they don't get up before 10 o'clock. Students. No, I've got to, sorry, a bit harsh on you students out there, a bit harsh. I've got a daughter that's a university student, a bit harsh, sorry about that. True, but a bit harsh, yeah, a bit harsh. The fact of the matter is, your pastor or your church leader cannot be in two places at once. Yeah, is that fair to say? Yeah. And actually, they do deserve a night's sleep. And it might just be that they have been working late into the early hours, caring for someone, supporting someone. It happens. You know, 5 o'clock on the dot, pastors don't disappear and go home. We don't have a role like that, I'm sorry. It's really 24/7 in your head and in your heart. We don't clock in and clock out, but there'll be moments in the life of a leader where they'll work really late. And they might not be available at 7 o'clock the following morning. I wonder why, you know. Just remember that this guy isn't Superman, okay? He almost is, but he's not, okay? He's Superwoman, but Superman not, all right? Love him, all right? Ian, Raquel, love your church as well. You see, the people who saw Jesus ministering didn't really love him too much, or not the religious, did they? When they saw the wonderful things that he did, and they saw the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They should have known better, but they didn't. And some people in churches need to know better and just apply some common sense to the care of their leaders. You've all heard this before. Year one, they idolise you. Year two, they criticise you. Year three, they ostracise you. So get all your changes done in the next 2 weeks, Ian, please. Because you know it's coming. That's why we've got to work about love, work at love, yeah? Because those things happen. And through the years, I've come to witness, even as a young man, growing up in church, not as a believer even, that there were those that idolized the church leaders in the early days were often the ones that were the most vocal and most horrible to the church leaders in years to come. Now, it doesn't always happen, but sadly, sometimes it does. Love your leaders. A house of love. Of course, we want a house to change lives, don't we? Do you love watching these DIY programs? Do you love watching them?
Yes.
You like watching them, do you? Good man, good man. I love it. Do you know where the home looks an utter disaster and the cameras pan in and you just think, oh my goodness, how on earth can people live like that? You know, they've started a project and it's never finished. If that's your kitchen, please, I say sorry to you. Sorry, guys out there, if your wife is now elbowing you in the ribs for that uncompleted project. Oh dear, there's a lot of that going on, Greg. There really, really is. Okay. The church needs to be a place of changed lives, doesn't it? We want to see that. The Bible is full of stories of changed lives. Peter from a working background, Mary Magdalene from a demonic background, the woman at the well, John 4 from what I call a shady background, Saul from a religious background. In Stoke Green Baptist Church, I'm sure there are people from all sorts of backgrounds. And I'll tell you what, outside these four walls, there are people from all sorts of backgrounds, aren't there? And they need to hear about Jesus. And I want to say to you all, wherever church you're from, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And when I say you are welcome here, I don't say welcome here only Soak Green, I mean welcome here in the church. If you're here today and the church in some way or another has upset you and has treated you badly, I can only hold my hands up and say sorry and apologize on behalf of the name of Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants the church to be what we're talking about today, a place of prayer and of healing and of love and of changed lives. Jesus wants the house to grow as well. Growth comes in all sorts of ways. Around your middle, depending on who you are. When you're small and you're at primary school and you go and you stand against the wall periodically about every other day. Am I taller, Mum? Am I taller today? You're looking for height growth. For those of us 40 and beyond, we're looking at our middle growth. Perhaps midlife growth. But what about the Church of Jesus? Well, firstly, those who love him should grow. They should become more and more like Jesus day by day. That's a mark of a real church where Christians are growing. They're going down deep. They're understanding more of the heart of God, his purposes in their life, the heart and compassion of Jesus Christ. They know who he is more. They're beginning to put into practice his teachings more on a regular basis. That is incredible growth. But of course, growth is also numerical. And I pray there'll be a day where this building is not large enough to contain the people that want to worship on this estate. I really pray that in faith. I really do. Churches in other countries have a different mindset to us. There's a picture here which I took probably 15 years ago on one of my visits to Brazil. I'm trustee of a mission in Brazil. And in Brazil, they have a particular mindset about church growth. Basically, the church will grow. It's not might, it will grow. It's kind of like, that's kind of their mentality. So when they build a building, after they've planted a church somewhere in their community, they normally build a shell able to contain maybe 50 people. But as soon as they've built that, they begin to build another shell about 10 meters all the way around the outside of it. So when I visited this particular church, and there are lots of them in Brazil, and went to worship there one Sunday, on the inside where you can't see, there's a room big enough for 50 people to worship. So I said to the church leader, I said, why have you got it around the outside as well to protect you. Is there danger? Well, lots of these places are dangerous. And he said, no, we'll need that next year when the church is that size. I thought, that's interesting. really interesting. Let this be a house of growth. Deep, deep into the Lord, yeah? And also numerically as well. Numbers are not everything, but they are something. They're not everything, but they are something. And Jesus said he would build his church, and it doesn't matter who's going to stand against it. The powers of Satan, the powers of hell, the powers of darkness, they cannot conquer it. Hallelujah. Do you believe that this afternoon? I hope that you do. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I spoke on this in our own church in Hadley last Sunday morning. He or she that follows me, Jesus said, they will not walk no longer in darkness. Light will always dispel darkness. And this church of Stoke Green is a light on this in this community, isn't it? It's the light of the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't hide it. Don't hide that light, Jesus said. Matthew 5, you're the salt of the earth in this community, Stoke Green. Pastor and people together, you are the salt of the earth to this community. You, pastor and people, are the light to this community. And by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, in faith go forward believing that the light of the good news of Jesus Christ will extinguish the darkness. Yes? There is power in his name. We've just sung of it. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. We need to believe it. And we need to live in the light of it. So let this be a house of growth. And let it be a house of generosity. Full of random acts of kindness. That the people around this church just know that you love God, and because you love God, you shower blessings upon the community of Stoke Green and beyond. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ should be like. Someone asked a question in our church 10 years ago. If your church closed as a visiting minister, you've got to be careful with visiting ministers, I told you that at the start. And he said this. If your church closed, would your community miss you? And I sat there and I wept. Boy, did that cut me to the heart. If the church closed, would the community miss us? And I thought, I don't know. And that was a worry, wasn't it? That I actually said that, I don't know. I'd like to think now that they would. If this church closed, would the community miss it? It will never miss it if you show acts of generosity. If you show acts of incredible mercy and grace. If you care for people. If you welcome people. If you love people. If you reach out to people. You will not go unnoticed. You're not doing it for your name, for the name of Stoke Green Baptist Church. Oh no. You're doing it for the name of Him, Jesus Christ, our King, the servant King. That's what you're doing. Let this be a house of generosity. It will be when we just come back to Romans 5 time and time again and remember that it was whilst we were sinners Christ died for us. And let us be a house of praise. And you know, people are attracted to people that are positive. People are attracted to people that are full of praise. People are attracted to people who are encouragers. Let this be a place that when people come in, they might not understand everything that is said or done, but they'll know, boy, do they love God. Boy, are they on fire for God. Don't let them leave without knowing 100% that I might not understand all I heard that morning or whenever they came to an event here, but boy, did they mean what they sung about. Boy, did they mean what they were saying. They really believed it. They might not believe it for themselves yet, but make sure they don't go home without any doubt that you believe what you say. So no professionalism here, Ian. I know you won't give it. No putting on a show, congregation. Be men and women that love God, that really love Him, that love Jesus Christ, that get excited about Him and want this whole town to know that Jesus Christ saves and transforms lives. Let this house, let His church look something like this. Amen.